KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Thanks for joining us. My good friend Ray Mondragon in studio. And Ray, are we good friends because we both like to shoot hoops, or
is
it some other reason?
Probably the only reason.
Hey, I appreciate you as a brother in the Lord. We were talking about how long we've been interviewing. We're going to talk a little bit about Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico in a couple minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about your new book, Science Is God Shouting. It's been out for a few months.
A year.
A
little over a year.
A year now?
Yep.
That's great. And you were observing my copy and where I am in the book, and we're going to talk about that quite a bit. I don't think, Ray, that most people really understand why we talk about apologetics, why we talk about science. I remember the first time you came in, I asked you a question like, well, does science contradict the Bible? And we began to have the conversation about evolution and this and that and why that was wrong. And even in the short 7 years since you first were on the show, it's come down to where when you really think about the theory of evolution, science has completely disproven that that's even rises to the level of a theory. And biblical principles of creation are not only evident in the creation, God, that hence the your book, Science Is God Shouting.
Right.
So the noise level now of science and Christianity being uniquely intertwined is really where we are today in terms of evaluating this, aren't we?
I think so, but there's still quite a bit of the remnants, I guess you could say, of evolution. And I think people today, pretty much, unless they're exposed to something different, they just assume, well, that's the way it has to be. And
they're still teaching evolution in the public
absolutely.
Schools, for example.
Oh, yeah, or on the college campus. Absolutely, yeah. So the battle goes on. In fact, we're a small minority, so people aren't thinking biblically. They don't think in terms of other options other than what they've been taught or other than what they've assumed. So I think it's still a topic that needs quite a bit of discussion, not only in the church. We need to prepare our young people because the world is going to cling to any naturalistic theory, however faulty it may be. So
once a month, Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico gets together over near Zuni and Central at the Baptist Church. And they
Moon and Central.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Moon and Central. And there's it's really just a discussion about science. Sometimes it's, I guess, I'm used to Brian Nixon, a former pastor at Calvary, talking about Norm Geisler, and he was kind of the founder, if you will, of apologetics and really taking scientific thought and reasoning and seeing what the Bible said about it. And there were so many correlations. In fact,
yep.
More than correlations, it's like Romans 1:20 says that God is evident in all of his creation.
Yep, he's built it that way. In fact, we see evidence that he is the ultimate designer of all things. In other words, you can't even have a creation without a creator because there's so much design in the creation. So the design gives evidence of a designer.
So if you are a secular scientist, you are omitting a big part of your observation of the world.
Yep.
You are saying that God doesn't exist. There is no spiritual realm. So on the same hand, if you're a Christian, you're acknowledging the God of the universe is participating, not has participated,
right.
Is participating. What are you omitting? Are you not looking at certain things, or is your observation more complete?
Well, I think spiritually, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever such that he doesn't see the gospel, but I think that same blindness blinds him to the reality of the evidence that you can see in the creation. So I think there's a huge spiritual element that is missing in the whole discussion. And that's why the gospel is important, because the unbeliever doesn't have that perception, the spiritual perception, to be able to see the evidence that actually is built into the creation.
Ray, have you had a few coaches yell at you over the years?
It's been a while, but yes.
Okay. So I just get a kick out of the title of your book, Science is God Shouting. Does God ever wake up any of these unbelievers? Does he ever get their attention, or are they just perpetually blinded?
No, I think a lot of them, that's the first step sometimes, like the Russ Humphreys. In fact, his testimony is that, you know, he's a physicist retired from Sandia Labs. His testimony is that things just didn't fit. Things just didn't make sense in terms of.
So he was evaluating things purely on a scientific level and started to see the disconnected kinds of concepts.
And realizing that there was no evidence for evolution, so what's the alternative? There has to be a designer, and he saw the design, and that led him, along with people, you know, in encouraging him along the spiritual lines, that he became a believer and everything clicked for him.
You know, I want to bring up to our listeners, there's so much information. If you go to our abqconnect.online podcast site and you type in Ray Mondragon, you can, or type in creation science or any of those things. You can get all of the interviews we've done over, and all of them are relevant.
This is number 73.
Yeah. Well, there's so much information. And the reason I bring that up is because here's one that I was so impressed when you first taught us this. You told us that mutations would be necessary in order for evolution to take place. So for one of the concepts of evolution is that there is a transition of species. In other words, a fish becomes a four-legged animal or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's many, many different theories. But first of all, there absolutely is no support for that in fossil record.
Right.
Then when you talk to us about mutations, and you gave us seven of them, and I'm not going to repeat those here, but one of those is that every time there's a mutation in real life, usually that is to the detriment of the organism.
Almost always.
Almost always. And for example, a cancer is a mutation.
Well, any defect.
Yeah.
In fact, I also mentioned that mutations are pathological. In other words, you can trace almost every disease to mutations.
There you go. Yeah. And so, you know, it's I get a kick out of it when somebody talks about the transition of species, because the honest truth is they don't know what they're talking about. They're parroting things that they've heard, maybe something they studied in high school science class. And all of that has been debunked. I mean, unequivocally. Yeah. It is not scientific. There is no transition of the species. Now, origins of life really aren't discussed in the so-called Darwinian theory of evolution. The changing of life and evolution of is what he concentrated on. But we've talked about the origins of life.
Right.
The Bible says that life is God-breathed.
Yep.
Yet
God created. Man is God-breathed, but...
But the evolutionists would say that this was all a cosmic accident.
Right.
You know, so I think I postulated once upon a time, if you take a living cell, we have the instrumentation today to look at every ingredient, a recipe, if you will, for that living cell. And we can steal life from a cell that's already living, right?
Right. Right, we can.
But if you just mix all those independent ingredients with exactitude, you can't breathe life into it.
You can't even engineer it, because it's already been pre-engineered by the creator, by the ultimate engineer. So the scientist needs to look within his own thinking in terms of engineering. In other words, anything with any level of sophistication or complexity is engineered. And if you look at the engineering aspect of it, you have to look at, well, who is the chief engineer?
Yeah.
And that leads you to some theological thinking, and that...
And you mentioned scientists, several, that have come to faith in Christ because they realized none of this could happen by accident.
Right. Things of any complexity don't happen naturally.
All right. Maybe this, I'm oversimplifying this, but Ray, why do you do this? Why do you do these interviews? Why do you write a book called Science is God Shouting?
Well, because the church is so far away from biblical truth and realizing that God is the creator. And the book, if you're into it,
yes,
it's more about the Bible than it is about science.
It is, yeah. And I was going to, I observe that...
In fact, it's more about truth.
Yeah.
And absolute truth as opposed to truth that is discovered by man, that's science, truth discovered by man. Whereas it has to have a foundation in absolute truth that comes from God only. So that's the whole purpose of my book, is to try to enlighten not only believers, but hopefully an honest person that has some questions and wants to look at it and is confused by the secular propaganda concerning not only evolution, but naturalism itself and its broad implications. If they can look at it in some detail and realize that there is absolute truth out there and it's found in Scripture, and the Bible talks a lot about science, a lot about the natural realm.
I love it. How did you choose the structure of your book when you wrote it? It's called Science is God Shouting. Again, I use the coaching analogy. I've been yelled at a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't, God even tries to speak to me in a still small voice, and I don't listen. So
right.
He yells at me
right.
A lot.
Exactly.
And I get the message. I just wish I was more obedient earlier before he has to grab me by the throat.
Right.
So, you know, that, and that's the reason I like to be on the air, is I want people, maybe I should ask you this question. Why are you compelled to constantly tell people about Jesus?
Well, because that's the source of everything. That's the source of our salvation. That's the source of spiritual growth, is understanding that relationship. And the church has abandoned those truths. The church has, in general, has abandoned the Bible. So even some churches, and I'm talking not just the liberal churches that have totally abandoned Scripture, but churches that even make a superficial attempt to teach biblical truth, it oftentimes is so, unsophisticated or so shallow that the believer doesn't grow in that. So apologetics helps people be convinced, oh, the Bible is important. God is important. So I need to devote myself to studying what he has revealed, because it gives everything. It gives life to everything.
Yeah.
So everything, it's not only the foundation to science, but it's the foundation to any field of study that anyone would pursue, because the Bible touches on virtually every area.
Yeah.
And so my motivation is to encourage people to get into the Word and study it and understand it, in order that they grow and be solidified in their faith and fulfill the purpose that God has called them, so that they may share it with other people.
Do you think that one major frustration with people in general, believers or unbelievers, I find this true with believers too, is so many people don't find out how they are spiritually gifted.
Exactly.
And they live a life of frustration as a result.
Right. They live a life unfulfilled, seeking fix-its in the spiritual life, fixing my old life, and never has that vision of God wanting to use them.
Yeah, putting out one fire after another.
Absolutely.
Ray is also a professor for Chafer Theological Seminary, and they have classes. They offer classes here. They meet at Hoffmantown Church.
Actually, most of our the only time we'll meet there is if we have enough students in Albuquerque.
Oh, so you do a lot of online stuff?
Almost everything is online. And
well, let's talk about, you just got back from a conference And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare when we come back. And then we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of creation science and why that's such an encouragement to people's faith. And hopefully it's a thing that people start looking into. There is a meeting of Christian Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. That's on March 17th. And those meetings are free. And you have special speakers. The special speaker March 17th will be Ray Mondragon. We'll be back with more from Ray right after these messages. Creation scientist Ray Mondragon in studio. Ray, you are a retired engineer. And when did you get interested in studying all about creation science?
Actually, not long after I became a believer. Because of my engineering background, I pretty much thought in terms of...
Now, did any of this apologetics creation science draw you to looking at Christ as your Savior?
It was more athletics, actually.
Okay.
And the Lord surrounded me with athletes when I was at UNM, and in the sovereign plan of God, coming out of Roman Catholicism, these athletes were believers, this circle, they were involved in the Fellowship Christian Athletes, and obviously I respected them as athletes and admired them on the college level. We're talking about high-profile athletes here. So they're talking about Christ coming out of Roman Catholicism. I noticed they had something different that I'd never seen before. And as I began to think about it and sat in on some of the Bible studies, I realized that I didn't have that relationship. So it was through that means. And then after that, I began studying God's Word, and obviously you're exposed to evolutionary thinking and naturalism, and you're thinking, well,
how well, you probably had a lot of friends, though, that were pretty, I would say, intellectual, because they're engineers, and they had different thinking processes.
So as you think about evolution, and I was convinced that the Bible was the Word of God, how does it fit? So you had to think it through and pursue it.
But that's not been a smooth road. You always have people throwing stuff at you like, well, this can't be true because of this.
Absolutely.
And you've taken the time to consider it, study it, pray about it.
Right.
And the Word stood up to you, or stood up for you.
Yeah, and absolutely convinced me that there had to be a Creator that is described in the Bible, and that He's responsible for everything in the natural realm. And if so, then there has to be a problem with evolution, and you can sort through all of that.
So I mentioned before the break that you just spoke at a conference for Chafer Theological Seminary in Houston.
Annual conference.
And I was teasing you because you were speaking on angelology in the book of Revelation. Tell us what that is.
Well, the conference was on spiritual warfare. And I was asked to speak and to think of a topic. And since I just completed a series on the book of Revelation, when I was asked, I was towards the end of it. One of the things I noticed in the book of Revelation is the prominence of angels. And that's part of the whole issue of spiritual warfare. Angels in the unseen world, there's good ones, there's evil ones, and there's also the good ones. And the book of Revelation highlights that. So I thought, well, I've done all the exegetical work, so all I need to do is pull it together and develop a talk on angelology and write a paper. So I presented a paper. So if you think about it and you do the study on it, you realize that angels are very, very prominent in the book of Revelation. Now, you probably might miss it, because they're somewhat kind of not really in the background, but the focus of each passage is not on angels per se, but they're involved in everything that God is doing in future things.
Ray, I used to be afraid at what our listeners would think when we talked about very spiritual things. Most people are concerned about how much gas is, and can I get my kids to school on time?
That's
can I pick them up this afternoon?
That I was telling you about.
Well, I think it's important to pick up your kids on time. I think it's important to be with your kids and to do all of those things as a parent. But sometimes we don't realize that we don't war against flesh and blood.
That's right.
I mean, people don't even think about the principalities and powers, the spiritual things that are going on
all around us.
And I would especially say to parents, you must start considering how your kids are protected. And you can protect them with prayer and a covering, if you will. And I think it's really important to consider this aspect of spiritual warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I did is just pull together all the passages, and if you do any, you know, I'm an engineer, so I look at numbers. Mm-hmm. There are 177 references to the word angels, angelos is the Greek word in the New Testament, 177. Mm. 67 of them occur in the book of Revelation. Mm. So we're talking about over between a third and a half of all of the New Testament references. And you take into account all the Old Testament references, and you still have 24% of all of the passages dealing with the terms related to angels, you have 24%, so a quarter of all of them. And from that, you can develop basically a complete study, which is angelology, on the doctrine of angels. That's angelology. So that's basically what I presented, is the results of putting together all of those passages in a theological form so that you can see the prominence of angels. And there are some passages dealing with angels that only occur in the book of Revelation. In other words, some information about angels are only contained in the book of Revelation. So very important.
Spiritual warfare, of course, for 99.9% of us, we would not have to face as much trouble if we would simply trust and listen to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Who we have been listened
to. He's our protection.
What's your experience with the Holy Spirit? I mean, did God shout at you? Did he grab you? How does he speak to you, right?
To me, I think it was just more realization through study of the Word, the importance of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's the only source of our power. Mm. Our flesh is not only weak, but does not produce anything spiritual. So the prominence of the work of the Holy Spirit inwardly is so important, and unfortunately, again, so many believers don't tap in, and they just live life in the flesh.
Ray, this is not on our list of things, but I can't help but ask you this question. Many times I've said to God, would you just throw out a few lightning bolts and scare me into doing what I should be doing so
be
that I quit misbehaving? Well, but the thing is that I almost wish there was no free will. God, just make me do it, right? I mean, is that wrong to think about that?
No, that's kind of a normal, because the struggle is there. The struggle is there, and we need to just focus on.
But God didn't choose to do it that way. He chose a path by which we would love him out of our own desire.
Yes.
And so how does our desire, that selfish, self-centered, sinful nature, suddenly desire Jesus?
Well, that is his working of the Holy Spirit. Mm. He's the one that produces that desire. Mm. But oftentimes we smother it with
stuff.
With whatever else is around us. And God has to come around again and maybe nudge us in a different way or another way or in drawing us back to himself. But our natural tendency is to avoid it, even though that's where the joy comes, that's where the freedom comes, that's where the peace comes, from that relationship and that walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's really a blessing. We're going to take another break, say thank you to our sponsors. We just appreciate our sponsors, and they are very unselfish about helping spread the word through this program and our radio station, KLYT. ABQ Connect is here to kind of discuss relevant issues of the day through a Christian worldview, through the Christian lens. And we try to present it in a way that would allow you to ask any questions that you might have. And I have so much more faith than I did even 7 years ago. I've been a Christian now since about 1980. And actually a little bit before that, when I was in high school. So I definitely think that my faith is stronger because I just know a lot of things you're telling me now, I might have been skeptical about 7 years ago when I first met you, but now I just see them so clearly. So, Ray, appreciate your ministry here with us.
Thank you.
And I hope everybody else will stay with us. Ray will be with us till 2 o'clock. We'll be back. Ray Mondragon will be speaking at the Creation Science Fellowship meeting, which is Tuesday, March 17th at Fellowship Bible Church, Moon and Central. It's a free event. What time does it start, Ray?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and do you typically go, like most pastors, till like 12 midnight? I'm teasing you. Is it an hour?
Generally, the talk is usually an hour, but there's a Q&A that can go depending on...
And that's really cool, because after you give your talk, you're going to obviously answer questions. And that's what I'm hoping you stimulate today for our listeners, is a lot of questions.
I'm hoping, and we'll try to answer them.
Yeah. The purpose of mankind from a creation science point of view is going to be your topic on March 17th. Yep. Let's get started on that.
Well, one of the issues today in our culture is this whole concept of transgenderism and the confusion in that. In fact, if you remember when Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings, she was asked to define a woman by Marsha Blackburn. I wonder if anyone remembers her answer, because she was evading in order to kind of not expose herself, I guess, publicly and on the record of her liberal bias. And her answer was, I'm not a biologist.
I'm not a biologist, so you can't tell us what a woman is.
Can't tell us what a woman is, yeah. So I think our culture and young people that are growing up in it are influenced by this confusion of, can you transition from male to female to male, etc. So I'm going to discuss a little bit of that, mainly by way of introduction, and talk about the fact that it's not only unbiblical, but it's certainly unscientific, and it's more just a confusion.
Also quite dangerous.
And dangerous, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dangerous in terms of young people. So that will lead into the discussion of not only the purpose of mankind, but the fact that man is created in the image of God. So I'm going to spend considerable time, not only trying to explain the biblical concept, and we could say this is from creation science, because creation science is founded in Scripture, the early chapters of Genesis. So I'm going to...
Ray, I know you. You're a very compassionate guy. And you like the Lobos, so I think you're okay. I'm just teasing. And I don't mean to make light of this, but it is, I don't want to offend. I know some people that have transitioned, and I want them to know that I love them and care about them.
Absolutely.
I don't want anything negative ever to happen to them. But every time they make a decision, it gives me angst, because I'm, oh my gosh, what are you doing to yourself? This kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
So my point is, I want the best for them.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but you are, and I, you know, parenting, I had to do a lot of things with my kids that were not necessarily fun as being a parent, discipline and so on and so forth. But you're going to share, how should we treat people?
Yes.
That were born, let's say, a male, yet they feel God made a mistake.
Right.
And they actually feel they're women. They have very intense emotions about that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to figure out how to compassionately share the truth.
And we must deal with people compassionately. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know that we're all good at that.
That's true.
So I want people to know the heart of what you have today. I mean, you're not here condemning people. No, in fact, you're here for the exact opposite reason, which is to try to give them hope in Christ.
Right. In fact, the compassionate thing to do is to warn people of dangers, whatever they may be. And this is one of the dangers in our culture that unfortunately is leading young people in a wrong path. And it's a path to destruction. And the compassionate thing is to try to explain to them what's happening and what is real and what the Bible teaches. In fact, you could look at any command of Scripture. It's not that God is trying to put us down or to control us. Every command of Scripture deals with God warning us concerning dangers that if we follow a certain path, contrary to the command that he gives, there's not only damage, but ultimate destruction. So to warn people concerning the truth of transgenderism is the most compassionate thing you can do. And to encourage them along the path of transgenderism is really aiding in their destruction. And you can use a lot of examples.
And by the way, there's quite a bit of medical evidence, scientific evidence to support exactly what you're saying.
Exactly. And some of that I want to bring out in our talk.
So you're going to talk about the need that people have for understanding the purpose of mankind from a creation science perspective. Then you're going to talk about the actual creation of man, how that happened, what the biblical story is.
Not so much how, but basically the facts relating
okay,
to it.
Okay. And take us through the rest of what you're going to talk about.
Well, as we look at the image of God, what does that mean? So every individual, regardless of what's going on in their mind and their thinking, all of us are sinners. So all of us deviate and go off on a different path that leads us apart from God. So
can I interject something here?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I hope this isn't offensive to anybody, but I have people all the time approaching me and saying, well, why does God like the Jews so much? Well, look, the Jews, in my opinion, are an illustration of us. We're all sinners.
Absolutely.
Every one of all of us fall short. And yet God, especially when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he washes you clean. Mm-hmm. He gives you wisdom and insight.
Absolutely.
And your life changes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's going to happen with Israel.
Yes. It's future.
Yes.
Individual Jews can come now.
Yes.
But there's a whole eschatological study that deals with the nation of Israel.
But I think people in their minds, they think, oh, well, God only likes perfect people.
No.
And therefore, why would he love the Jews? Well, why would he love any of us?
That's right.
If that were true. That's not, God loves all of us despite our sin.
Absolutely. Right. The Jews were created by God through one man that he called that was not a Jew.
Yeah.
And he made promises to him and his descendants. But they're simply an instrument that God used in a period of time, and we're kind of in an in-between time, if you will. And then God is going to revert back to that plan that he had with the nation of Israel, and he's going to complete that plan. That's the study of future things or eschatology.
But would you say it's miraculous that Israel even exists?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, people don't realize what it took just with humanity and tribalism and all the things happening in the Middle East for that little country to even exist.
Yeah, God has preserved, God created Israel miraculously. The descendants of Abraham were impossible because Sarah was barren and she was an old lady.
I had somebody tell me again this past weekend, I really don't want to go to that church because I invited them to church, but they said, well, I really don't want to go to that church because all those people think that they're better than everybody else. And I literally looked at him and I said, well, first of all, I go to church there. And if I can be any reflection, you know that I'm not thinking I'm better than anybody. In fact, the exact opposite is true. We recognize that God is overcoming our weakness to show his greatness and to change lives. It doesn't have anything to do with us.
No, it's that work of the Holy Spirit.
It's the weak work of the Holy Spirit. So you can always tell when people have never even tried going to church, and I'm convinced they don't go because the Holy Spirit's already working them. Mm-hmm. In fact, I told a Jewish friend of mine last week, he said, why are you, and I ask you the same question today, he said, why are you always telling people about Jesus? And I said, well, I want you to know something. I love you no matter what you believe. Mm-hmm. But I want you to know that now I've told you about Jesus, you'll never be able to get him off your mind. The Holy Spirit's going to bug you and bug you and bug you and never let go of you. So sorry.
That's good. Yeah. So you apologize.
Well, I'm apologizing tongue in cheek because I wouldn't have shared it otherwise. I wanted him to understand the Holy Spirit is all powerful. And it's not just this idea that somebody's floating around. The Holy Spirit is active and will inhabit your thoughts and speak to you. Yep. And I think louder, maybe he's shouting at you if you're not a believer.
Shouting, exactly.
Ray, let's take our break and then give you a good 15 minutes to finish up with us because you've got several other segments to go over. Ray's going to be speaking for Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico at the Fellowship Bible Church at Moon and Central. That is 7 o'clock p.m. March 17th. And there's no cost of the event. Just show up. They do it.
And we encourage young people.
Yeah.
We want them to.
You mean old guys like me can't come?
You can come, but we would prefer.
You'd rather have the youngins. I'm teasing you. No, you invite everybody. And but it is, you know, I think a lot of people, Ray, especially when they're young, they don't realize the power that God has. It's like Paul talking to Timothy when he was a very young man to go be the pastor at Ephesus, right?
Yeah.
He said, don't despise your youth. Right. God's going to want you right now.
Exactly.
So very young people can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm. And they are.
They are. We'll be back with Ray Mondragon right after these messages. Ray Mondragon in studio with Creation Science Fellowship. Ray also is a professor with Chafer Seminary and hosts several classes. When's Chafer coming up with new classes here soon?
Well, we're just starting
in the middle of it,
the spring semester. Okay. So we'll have a summer session with a few classes, and then next spring.
And website that people can go to, you know.
Is Chafer.edu.
Chafer.edu. And by the way, if you're interested in Ray's book, about a year old, Science is God Shouting, you can pick that up if you have an interest at truegracebooks.com, truegracebooks.com, or on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. You can get it cheaper from True Grace by $5, I believe.
Oh, so. That's great. Well, Ray, we appreciate all the ministry you do here and your contributions. We started talking about what you're going to be talking about March 17th at Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico at Fellowship Bible Church, 7 o'clock March 17th. Free event. People from all over the city, doesn't matter what church you go to. You could even be an atheist, and you're welcome to come and get questions answered and talk about the Bible. In fact, you'd probably welcome that more than anybody I know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. So we talked about the purpose of mankind from a creation science perspective is going to be the theme of what your talk will be about. We talked about the creation of man. What about the image of God? We're made in God's image. What does that mean?
Well, the scripture said in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us, and the us there is debated, but I think it's a foundation for the concept of the Trinity. So God said, let us make man in our, so there's more than just God here, in our image. According to our likeness. So man is created in the image of God. So I'm going to spend a considerable time, amount of time, dealing with what does that mean? What is the image of God? In other words, how do we represent God, or how do we can visualize God within mankind?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to deal with several aspects of the image of God and the nature of man, which is partly spiritual. We're created spiritually. We also have intellect, and we have volition that God reveals that he has. So we'll deal with some of those aspects. Creativity, we have the ability to create, not out of nothing like God does. But the image of God, though in man, is finite and limited. There are several aspects that we can discuss.
Are you amazed, even in your engineering career, between the time you started and today, all the stuff that's invented and designed? And
yeah, when I went to UNM, I was using a slide rule.
I love it. I love it.
They didn't even have even the simple addition and subtraction calculators.
Yeah.
In fact, they were just about coming out on the market.
I don't know, Ray, this sounds like I walked 5 miles uphill both ways stories that all of us old people tell, right?
That's right.
So tell me about the biblical definition of mankind.
And from that, we can define mankind and womankind even. In fact, I'm going to give a scientific and biblical definition for both man and woman. In fact, I'll give you the woman here, and then you can come and listen to see how man is defined. Okay. But the way I define it, biblically and scientifically, is a human female person created in the image of God and by God. So there's the biblical aspect, who has XX chromosomes in every cell of her body. So there's the scientific aspect. And that gets into the whole transgender issue as well. So I'm going to kind of relate the two there. But there's a definition for woman that is both biblical and scientific. And I'll do similar with a definition of man. In fact, you could take the same statement and just kind of add the man part in there.
Uh-huh.
And instead of XX chromosomes, you would have XY chromosomes. And but it's in every cell of your body. So how do you transition every cell of your body? So we'll deal with a little bit of it. But what I really want to get into is what's called the creation mandate. Some people call it the dominion mandate. It's very, very important. And at the heart of the creation mandate is how God desires to utilize and the purpose of both man and woman. So men and women have a part, and it involves reproduction. That's where you have the distinctions between the two. And so it involves marriage, and family is at the heart of the purpose of mankind. So we'll develop a little bit of that, not so much because I think many people are familiar with it. But an area that is neglected is the second part of the creation mandate, which deals with ruling, subduing and ruling. We don't think much about that, but this is part of what God has called man to do and woman to support that and to be a part of the ruling aspect, which God, that's part of the image of God. God has built into us and given us the ability to be able to exercise a certain amount of sovereignty. He is ultimately sovereign over all things, but he's given mankind a finite, tiny measure in comparison to God of sovereignty over a realm, the family. And from that, cultures are built. And when you destroy the family, you destroy the culture. And when you destroy the family, you're going at the heart of the purpose of mankind.
So the family isn't a philosophical or a social order that human beings came up with. This is something that God ordained.
Absolutely. In fact, it's a divine institution.
Mm.
And what you don't think about is, what does it take to rule? Well, to rule the earth. We have an example in chapter 2. God gave man the responsibility. Adam was the first biologist in naming the animals. And what do you need to do to be able to name the animals? You need to make distinctions between them. You need to understand their characteristics. You have to know the science.
You need to understand which ones are male and female.
All the aspects of
yes,
zoology and even beyond zoology. So you have to be a scientist. You have to investigate. You have to study. Adam was given information, but we have to acquire it. That's the study of science. So it's the foundation for all of science. And then science, what do you do with that knowledge? That leads to technology. So the creation mandate involves the technology aspect as well. So it includes every area of life. So ruling is part of what God intended, and that's at the heart of the purpose of mankind. So I'm going to expand that and talk about pursuing sciences or whatever career that an individual would be interested in. This is part of what God has given to mankind. So when we think of ministry, we need to think in terms of more than just preaching and teaching behind a pulpit, but every man is a minister, every woman is a minister that has a part in carrying out the creation mandate.
And the way you've structured this and the way Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico structured this is you want people to come and ask questions.
Absolutely. Yep.
So this is different than going and hearing a sermon.
It's not just a lecture or a sermon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, now we reserve the question and answer for the end, but
yeah, there's got to be some order.
Personally, I don't mind interruptions, especially if things are not as clear as I'd like for them to be, then people can interrupt. But in general, and people are, we usually have a good 15, sometimes more, depending on the topic and the speaker and the audience, I guess.
Yeah. Ray, what's our responsibility as human beings in the midst of all of this? Or does everything fall on God? Or has God given us what we need?
No, he has desired to do his work, not on his own. He could do everything that he's called man to do far more effectively, far more efficiently, instantaneously if he wanted to. But he has given mankind the privilege to participate in the things that God is doing on earth. That's that limited and finite sovereignty that he's delegated to mankind. So we are involved in the things that God is doing in the universe, and he's given us an opportunity to be a part of his big plan, and that's part of the purpose of mankind.
Ray Mondragon will be speaking at Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico March 17th at Fellowship Bible Church. Ray, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.